Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today we're talking about the Maui fire conspiracy. Once again, it's back, it's on and popping. And we're going to take a look, and this is, of course, part two, right? You already listened to part one, and if you haven't, I'm going to put a link in the show notes. You better go back and catch up. In part two today, we're going to talk about The Simpsons predictive programming, everything blue, oops, all blue, Oprah, laser beams, umbrellas. What does it mean? Well, we're going to talk about it. We'll talk about the motive for this whole thing, which I think could be the most plausible theory. Great Reset housing motive. You got to keep the poor people poor so the rich people could be even richer because they're mentally ill. We're going to talk about Jason Aldean's synchro mysticism tattoos with the Steve Jackson Illuminati card game. We're going to talk about how this is a script played out from Black Wall Street. We're going to talk about the melting points of aluminum and asphalt. Little Bill Nye the Science Guy kind of deal. We're going to talk about Biden's laser-focused $700 payments, Maui's emergency administrator who quit the day after being asked why he didn't sound the alarm, which is part of the part one discussion. We're going to talk about the governor of Nevada and John Pelletier and his bestie that all these people tied into the Las Vegas 2017 concert shooting with, of course, Jason Aldean, and how they've, you know, wow, everyone got promoted from the most horrific tragedy in Las Vegas or the U.S. history, that for that matter. So strap in, because there's a lot of shady allegations we're going to talk about with the police and all kinds of stuff. So and if you're watching the video version of the show, if you're on Rockfin or you're one of my tier two and higher folks who watch the videos, you're going to notice I call it my Rastafari cap. This is just my hairnet. Okay. Sometimes I get pretty for you guys. Well, I never get pretty for you guys, but sometimes I look more presented than others. Today's not one of those days, so get ready for that. But yeah, we're going to be rocking the Rastafari cap today, so my apologies. Now, without further ado, let's get into it, okay? A realization, okay? I listened to the Conspiracy Social Club show. That's Sam Tripoli debating Brian Callen on conspiracy topics. And they're talking about Maui. Then I listened to the Tinfoil Hat program where they interviewed Greg Carlwood, where they talk about the Maui conspiracy. And, you know, of course, these are all legendary folks in the community here. Greg Carlwood was my second interview ever. Freeman Fly was my first podcast interview ever that I went on. Then Greg Carlwood allowed me on his great show back, what was it? It was like 2011, 2012, something like that. Early days. And yeah, anyway. But I had a realization, okay? I've changed. I've changed since 2011, as we do. We all change all the time. And if you're not changing, you should ask yourself why. And if you should or should not, maybe you don't need to. But I had a realization that things changed for me in 2020. The day everything changed. Well, it was the year that everything changed. And I think what happened was that the pandemic hit and we got this massive wave of new truthers. New truthers to the conspiracy theory world. And with them came a lot of mouth breathers. I'm just going to say it as it is. Came a lot of mouth breathers. Some worse than others. But what I found myself having to do in the last 3 years is I find myself debunking way more than I used to. That's why when you hear my shows, I'm oftentimes telling you things you don't want to hear. I'm debunking theories and I get grief for it constantly. And it's not that I'm not on your team. I am. I'm trying to find the truth here. I'm on board with all the things. We got to question the institutions. We got to question the mainstream media. It all goes back to a variety of Illuminati theories, okay? Sometimes the flavors are a little different from what I believe from what others believe, and that's okay. I don't mind. But I find myself debunking a lot of BS because there's been a whole wave of people brand new to the red pill world, and that's great. Like, I love that. If you're new to the conspiracy world, welcome to the insanity where we eat our own. And I find myself doing that a lot. And I don't want to do that anymore. But I find that, I don't know how to put this in words. I'm just going to sum it up. Listening to a few shows, because I don't listen to tons of podcasts like I used to. I've got my own research to do, right? That's no shade, right? No shade, no cap. But listening to, you know, because I was trying to dig more into the Maui thing. And you know, I see Greg Carwood on Tinfoil Hat, two podcasts I recommend highly to everyone. I subscribe to them, listen to as many as I can. And, you know, I love to hear what these two have to say. Well, I got to throw a bone. It's not just Greg and Sam. It's Sam, XG, and Johnny, okay? There's a whole crew over there. And you need a team. Sometimes you got to get, it's like when the lead singer leaves the band, it just changes the chemistry. You know what I mean? Sometimes the band only does what it does because it's working together as a group, as a collective. So I don't want to forget the other guys in that tinfoil hat. But anyway, I got red-pilled. I got re-red-pilled again, I think. Listening to some of those shows, listening to him, Sam debate Brian. Because Brian makes good points. But then he totally misses the mark on other points. And I'm like, bro. So I thought, man, I feel like I've changed. I feel like I find myself debunking more conspiracies than going with conspiracies. But it's because it's the truth. Like, I call out the stuff that's not true, and that's what I will always do. I don't care. Like, I will call out the things that I believe not to be true with as many citations as I can source. This is not a, what do you call it, a cult of personality. I'm not just going along with the crew, the whole, like, conspiracy world. Because that sort of took this hard right turn, and I'm standing over here like, wait a minute, what? I thought we didn't like the political stuff, and here we are. And I'm not talking about Sam and Greg. I'm talking about, like, in general, right? This whole, like, new movement since 2020. But I find myself going back and forth between the two worlds of the normies and the truthers, and I'm going to put a bow on this right now. What I'm saying is that if this was done on purpose or not, doesn't matter. The state of affairs we're in now, there's so many people pushing conspiracy theories now. A lot of them don't really know how to research, and they're muddying the waters. And I think that does us a disservice as a whole. That's all. That's what I mean. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. And my apologies if you don't. If it feels like I'm being combative and sort of disproving conspiracy theories, it's because I'm trying to shout down the bad ones so that we can take honest looks at what's really going on and try to come to a consensus of reality, I guess. So, anyway, moving on. And let's go over some of there's a few talking points worth bringing up from the Tinfoil Hat show where they had Greg Carwood on from Higher Side Chats. They talked about the Google bomb theory, which I found interesting, and I've been a victim of this myself. And what we're talking about, they were talking about the Amazon book about the Maui fire called Fire and Fury. Well, that's also the name of a Trump book, okay? And then you've got the Obama operation called Fast and Furious, where I think they were illegally doing something with guns on the border or something. I don't really know. But then there's obviously all those dumb Fast and Furious movies, right? And on Tinfoil Hat, they say, someone mentions about how Kanye West was saying that that's what happened to Black Panther. Now, there's this movie, Black Panther. No one's talking about the revolutionary movement of the Black Panthers. And what that is that if you, make it simple, if you Google Black Panthers, you're going to find the dumb Marvel movie. You're not going to find anything about the movement. All right, that's the idea. You get what I'm saying. You're a pretty smart audience. I'll also throw out that back in when Katy Perry released her Prism album, what are we talking, 2014 or 15? I was doing a lot of writing about that was back when Edward Snowden whistleblowed about the NSA PRISM program. The PRISM program was all over the what do you call it? Like the news and the social media. And then the Katy Perry album comes out, and, you know, what do you know? And also, wasn't Katy Perry shilling pretty hard for Hillary Clinton, too, right? Anyway, they talked about Google bombing with the Fire and Fury thing. Greg made a very interesting point about how legacy media is dying, right? All the mainstream medias, they're dying off. And that seems to be true. But look at Tucker Carlson and some others. They're just going over to Twitter now because that's going to become the new legacy media. And I was reading about how Elon wants to do a digital verification ID with any verified Twitter accounts, which I will not be doing. In fact, I can't wait. I can't wait for him to force me to do that so I could bail on the blue check mark. I do the blue check mark because it gets my tweets out to more people, supposedly. And I hate it. I hate that I pay him $8 a month. But, you know, I'm trying to get the message out to more people, so I pay it. But I actually can't wait for him to tell me to upload my ID so I can give him the finger and keep my $8 a month. But it's true. The new legacy media is social media. We can't trust Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook and Instagram and Elon Musk's Twitter. How can we possibly trust them? That's why they want to ban TikTok, because TikTok, they can't get the feelers to get their arms around TikTok. And I'm not saying TikTok's some angel thing. I think it's spying on us. I'm talking about things and they show up on my feed, of course. But it's the most independent sort of form of media, and that's what everyone's on right now. So of course they're going to try to ban that. Another good point was asking, where's the activism for Maui? Where's the Maui hashtag? We all saw tons of Ukraine flags on social media posts and things like that. Where's the Maui stuff? America. It's part of America, right? Where is it? And that's a good point. It's very much absent. Greg also talks about how, and there's theories about how many people actually died in those fires. Allegedly, from what I've heard, is that it's many, many more, like hundreds more than what they're saying. And that's probably why, because they can't come out and say, hey, we've got, you know, 1,000 people dead, because bam, now you're talking 9/11 type numbers, right? Now it's a whole thing. Now you're getting the Maui hashtag. Why though? Why the distraction here? Greg also talks about how the young liberals, how lost they are. And it's ironic because that's exactly what me and Josie, my wife, talked about on the Breaking Social Norms Maui episode we just released a few days ago. No, I'm sorry. I lie. That was an extra bonus show for the Breaking Social Norms Patreon supporters. But that was what she was talking about was, you know, because we're pretty OG granola alkaline woke. We're pretty liberal folks. But there's like this extreme liberal thing that's something's wrong, right? Something's wrong with that movement. They're just so intense about it. And it's like the other side of the spectrum of authoritarianism. Mandating stuff where the 90s sort of classic liberal, which I subscribe to generally, is more of a free speech kind of thing, whereas the new liberal is more limited on speech. Anyway, new theories. Let's talk about Maui part 2. Simpsons. There's an episode and supposedly it's showing a directed energy weapon laser tearing through Hawaii. Oh, they did it again. Everyone's sharing it. Oh my God, they did it again. If you go to Reuters, do a fact check, it claims it's not true. It says it's from a 2016 episode called Monty Burns Fleeing Circus. It says the full scene can be viewed in this highlight sequence, blah, 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 where a new statue belonging to the Lard Lad Company is publicly revealed in the city of Springfield. The scene shows the mixed reaction of the city's residents before a character in the lab coat warns that the massive concave reflective surface would focus the sun's beam in a deadly ray. So I actually watched that part of the episode, and Reuters is correct. That is definitely not a directed energy weapon in the sense of what people are claiming Hawaii was. And it's definitely not Hawaii. It was Springfield. So that's too much of a stretch for me to say, oh my God, the Simpsons predicted it again. You know, that groaning 33rd Great Ray Base. And, you know, not really. All right. And again, no shade against conspiracy people out there. I follow many people who I respect that posted this clip, and that's fine. I'm just saying, like, let's talk about how that's not really a directed energy weapon on The Simpsons in Hawaii. It's absolutely not. But in fact, there was an alleged sun-based death ray based on mirrors from Archimedes. Like, that was a real thing. So I think that's what the Simpsons episode is based upon. But let me throw a bone here. At the end of that clip, you will see the town of Springfield annihilated except for one large blue blobulous statue intact, which is kind of weird. That is weird. And that we're going to talk about the color blue and how that plays a role in this. A lot of people are talking about how the fire only targeted the homes. And you'll see images of the remains of cars and the burnt out homes. Yet there's palm trees and even some umbrellas just chilling, unaffected, which is kind of weird, right? Now, one theory, and I can't credit anybody for this. A guy, he kind of hit me up on this anyways. Chemtrails. There's a theory that previous to the fire, they were spraying chemtrails. Aluminum, perhaps. Or sulfur. So that it would so the fire would burn hotter over the chemtrail areas. Now that's... how you do that from the skies? I don't know. It's a bit of a stretch for me, personally, but that's the claim. And what's interesting, because I couldn't find any sort of proof of this or video or nothing, but I was Googling around and I found a letter to the Maui News editor, meaning any Yahoo can write a letter to the editor. But this is back in November 2013. I'm going to read to you from it. It says, in response to, is something strange going on in the sky over Maui? The answer in a word is yes. But not just Maui or even the state of Hawaii or the USA. It's going on all over the world. Had the letter writer looked up more often, years ago, she would have seen the same thing. They are called chemtrails, not to be confused with contrails. I'm not going to try to explain what a chemtrail is, but encourage all who don't know to Google or search on YouTube for chemtrails. And I hate that, right? I hate it when they... You get that sentiment a lot on truth or conspiracy channels. It's like with the Maui police chief. I heard that sentiment a lot. Well, if you don't see what's going on here, I don't know what to tell you. He was the police chief in Las Vegas, now he's the police chief in Maui. Isn't it clear what's going on? And like, if you want to be a conspiracy theorist, you kind of got to explain what's going on. What's the theory? You don't have to be right. But explain, what's the theory? I mean, I get it. Like, you're saying there's some shady stuff going on here. But our job, I don't want to say, I feel like I'm attacking other truths. And I'm not trying to do that. Because most truthers, especially like the ones I associate with and follow and all that, do pretty good work. Really good work, oftentimes. And I'm talking about more of your sort of TikTok variety, don't take it too seriously, but post stuff. I mean, it's just condescending to say, well, clearly you see what's going on here. If you don't know what's going on here, I don't know what to tell you. You need to wake up. I mean, that's not helpful. It's just not helpful. So anyway, they don't know what a chemtrail is. They want you to Google for it. But the last episode on the Maui show, we talked about how weather modification is real. And there are chemtrails. If you consider spraying chemicals like sulfur in the air from planes, scientists have been doing this. They're looking at, they call it geoengineering, and they're looking at spraying moon dust in our atmosphere to block some of the sun rays to reduce the warming, supposedly. And then I talked about all the examples of weather modification on the last episode. But that takes us to the theory on how did they target just the homes and not the trees? As if they would care about the trees. But whatever, right? It's a good point. It is kind of weird. It's not kind of weird. It's super weird. You had this fire raging 1,500 degrees, annihilating everything in the town, but yet and still, some trees and umbrellas are chilling. Well, one theory is the color blue, all right? And I shared a video from TikTok on my Instagram showing this example in a lab of a laser hitting different color cloth, and when it hits the blue cloth, it doesn't do anything. Now, there's zero context given on the video, which drives me nuts. So who knows what we're actually looking at here? But the point is that on that video I put on my Instagram, check a look for yourself at Isaac Weishaupt on Instagram. The point is that there were these blue umbrellas that were unharmed in the whole chaos of Lahaina, and they showed on that video. And one theory is that the directed energy weapon laser theory is that they are programmed to attack certain wavelengths, everything outside of the color blue. And truthers like Stu Peters, who I've had my beef with, I talked about that on a Rockfin show a few years ago. Anyway, guys like Stu Peters, they went nuts on this, retweeting. There was also because they connected to this fake news article. There was this article, you'll probably see it. This supposedly was an article written in October of 2022, written by Mickey Brammer, that's titled, "Why the Heck Are Celebs All Painting Their Maui Properties the Same Weird Shade of Blue? Implying that celebrities in Maui weren't harmed by the directed energy weapon lasers because their houses were blue and the lasers don't harm blue, as is evident from the umbrellas still standing." Okay? And, of course, this website doesn't exist. No link given. If it exists, I'd love to see the link. But at this day and age, no one knows what's real anymore. At this point, you could retroactively make a website and post that image and say that that's the article. I mean, it's really hard to know. I watched a video about AI, and they talked about how, you know, AI can take 3 seconds of your voice and have a dialogue with anyone with your voice, and it would sound just like you. And the same goes for video. And the AI TED Talk thing was saying that we're currently, at this point, in a stage of life where if you're on an electronic device talking to someone or FaceTiming with someone, you really can't know if that's genuinely the person you're talking to or not. Because AI is so good now. And that's today. So anyway, it seems that this website is BS. I did a lot of looking around. And to be fair, it looked like a real website. So they're getting better at this and making the fake news or whatever. But here's the giveaway. The dead giveaway, the subcaption of that title you see on the screenshot of the website says, "Obama, Clinton, Hanks," like Tom Hanks, "DeGeneres," like Ellen DeGeneres, "Teagan," like Chrissy Teigen, "Kid Rock, now even Oprah." And look, they all might own property on Maui, but when I see Obama, Clinton, Tom Hanks, Ellen DeGeneres, Chrissy Teigen, and Oprah in one sentence, the Kid Rock threw me for a loop a little bit. That's what tells me this is like maybe Russian propaganda, because they don't really understand the difference here. But when you put all those in a sentence, I'm like, okay, that's dog whistly for conspiracy theorists to bite in on it. And that's what happened. They spread this image. And again, maybe it exists. There's no link given ever. I would bet a check that it doesn't exist. And I tried looking for it. Couldn't find it to save my life. Supposedly, it came... There's a website... Oh, I didn't write it down. There's a website that sort of debunks this thing. And the claim is that it came from this Architectural Digest article on interior design trends. But even that wasn't given a link. There's no search engine results. I looked on Google. I looked on DuckDuckGo. And the claim is that the original poster was Brett F.E. Biblijesus on Twitter. And if you go to his page, that stands for Brett Flat Earth Bible Jesus, which also sounds like a foreign disinformation account. Like, the English is pretty bad on that. But maybe, right? And I combed through his feed. He's very intense about conspiracy. He's been retweeting a lot of Mountain Dew theories. I've seen Donut posting a bunch of these. I haven't got into it yet. I'm thinking that maybe they're saying Mountain Dew, D-E-W, like directed energy weapon, is in the name, and they all have those different tropical storm flavors. I gotta watch the donut videos. I don't know the Mountain Dew theory yet. I gotta catch up. One tweet that Flat Earth Bible Jesus there tweeted, he talked about the wavelength of the color blue and how it's 6.66 hertz as the frequency. And if you look it up, that turns out to be true, meaning it has the shortest wavelength, which you'll notice a lot of consumer electronics use the blue lighting. And I believe that's because of the short wavelength means it takes less energy. I could be wrong on the wattage, I think. We studied diodes a bunch in college. I don't remember a lot, but I remember blue was originally out of a sort of necessity to save energy, I think is what it was. But either way, you know that there's blue light blockers, like sunglasses you can wear, because blue on your screens, on the TV, your phone, your laptop, the blue is actually bad for your eyes and bad for your circadian rhythm. That's why those nasty whitish little LED lights are not good for you. They actually have a lot of blue in them, and they're pretty close to the sunlight. And what that means is that it throws your circadian rhythm off, because the brain thinks it's daytime, so it doesn't start winding down. Anyhow, this is part of the issue that I'm talking about at the beginning of the show. Since 2020, there's a mixture of sort of religious zealots who think it's their higher calling to wake people up to this Luciferian agenda, which I'm actually okay with. I do think there's a Luciferian agenda, but they are oftentimes pushing their brand of Christianity, and they lie sometimes. And it's the same thing the police do, right? Because it's the greater good is the argument. And I say lying is never a greater good. Like Joe Rogan said, right? You don't combat bad speech with censorship. You combat bad speech with good speech. Okay? But that's part of the issues I've had since 2020 with conspiracies, is that everyone decided to become a conspiracy theorist, and 90% of them are not qualified to do this. And some of them are straight up frauds pushing fake news for either some kind of religious angle or a political agenda. I mean, it's pretty wild. People are connecting this blue laser theory to Project Blue Beam. Totally different. I wrote about that in my Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult books. But to be fair, I did do some research on that video about the cloth, the blue cloth that didn't get burned by the laser. And I'm far from a scientist, but I read on a forum discussing about, from 2012, about a blue balloon a person was doing experiments on with a laser, and they found that the blue balloon is more resistant to popping from a blue laser. And one of the responses says, that means that if the balloon is blue and the laser beam has the same color, a very important part of this wavelength will be reflected out, and that's why it is more difficult to explode the balloon. Okay, so to finish up this blue conversation, if Maui was a directed energy weapon laser, it would be a blue laser because it would cause less damage on blue homes and blue umbrellas. I have a hard time with that theory. I'm not saying it's impossible. I just have a hard time with it is all. But it is weird. I gotta say, it's worth looking into. I'd like to learn more. Housing. This is more rational. This is part of the Great Reset, and this is what I think is the most plausible of the theories. We talked about how BlackRock has the most shares of Hawaiian Electric. We pointed that out in part one. And about how Hawaiian Electric just so happens to be on that advisory board for the government's emergency proclamation to build rapid housing that just so happened to go through the month before the fires, wink, wink. And I did a series on the Great Reset episodes back in 2020 and 21 and 22, I think even I had one. 7 episodes, I think. And you can go through, I've got an index on IlluminatiWatcher.com. You can go to the index. You'll see an image for it on my side widget. And you can do a control F and look for all the Great Reset episode links. Well, one of those episodes talked about housing. I believe it was episode 6 or 7. And we talked about how BlackRock was hired by the Federal Reserve, aka the banks, to start buying up mortgages on their behalf to save the U.S. economy back in 2008. And they were asked to do that again recently. And they now manage over $7 trillion. Now, this all came from an RT article in 21. Russian state news could very well be propaganda. Or BlackRock could own even more real estate since 2021. I don't trust BlackRock, okay? Plus, you got a whole bunch of these sort of alpha life hack passive income bros that are trying to buy homes and rent them out or do Airbnbs with them. So, you know, housing's definitely an issue in America. And look, to be fair, I call them passive income bros. I'm a passive income bro myself. That's what started me down this path. I started by doing the blog, and I wasn't intending on making any income off of it. And I started listening to Smart Passive Income Podcasts. Shout out to them. And they planted the idea to write a book. They're like, that's passive income. You sell books, write it once, and sell it forever. And I did that. And I wrote 9 books. Are you going to get rich? I'm here to tell you, you don't get rich off books. I can tell you this right now. If you enjoy writing, which I do, I love writing. I would rather write than podcast. If Google didn't shadow ban my blog, it would still be on and popping. But they did, and here I am, and this seems to work. So here we are. Anyway, I actually wanted to. I read Rich Dad Poor Dad many, many years ago, and I thought, man, I should buy a home and rent it out too. It kind of makes sense. My grandfather actually used to do this, but the tenants were hard to deal with. My dad used to have to go evict them and stuff. Anyway. And then my last house, I lived next to renters, and they were total slobs. And it made me mad because we try to keep our house nice, and they just let the neighborhood go to hell. It looked terrible. And the people who owned the houses lived in, like, Texas. I just thought it was rude. I was like, look, if you want to use this as a way to make money because you don't want to work another job or start a real business, like, the least you could do is live locally, you know? But it made me mad because all the neighbors, they were on drugs and the cops were over all the time. I don't know. But they were just total slobs, make the neighborhood look like trash, bring down my home value that I'm actually taking care of. So here's the thing. If you want to buy a home and rent it out, that's fine. I actually don't have a problem with that. I've considered it myself. Just make sure your tenants are mowing the grass and not doing drugs, digging holes in the backyard at midnight, and then taking shovels full of dirt into the front of the driveway and spreading it out on the driveway with a flashlight to look for whatever the meth was telling them to look for.
That's crazy.
That's what, yeah. Anyway, stories. I got lots of stories about my drug dealing and using neighbors. So anyway, Bloomberg had an article, and it had this whole sales pitch about how America should become this nation of renters, which is the Great Reset, right? Total BS. Because owning a home is kind of the easiest way to have generational wealth or savings in a way. There's some times where owning a home bites you because the maintenance costs too much, but in the long run, like, you're better off than paying rent. I would never rent. Never. And I'm lazy. I don't like taking care of the home. But Michael Bloomberg, one of the world's richest men, is not to be trusted. He's been tied into some of the Maui theories too, if I recall. I think he was on maybe one of those AI smart city panels. I don't remember. I remember seeing his name on something, though. Okay. In part one, we discussed the police chief being tied to the Las Vegas shooting from 2017. I got so distracted talking about the Small Town song of Jason Aldean. I forgot to mention something that I did an episode in 2017 when the shooting happened. I'll put the link in the show notes if you want to listen to low/medium T Isaac. Still pretty early in my podcasting days, so no promises on how exciting it was. But I will put a link in if you want to go down memory lane. I'd like to hear what I had to say too. Actually, I should listen to it. But I did mention Jason Aldean has a tattoo on his arm. Some really cool tattoos he's got. That's, my eyes are rolling if you can't tell. He's got a, on his arm, he's got a jack and an ace of spades. Which, I'm going to, first, let's throw out the rational normie perspective here. His initials, J and A, Jason Aldean, would make sense. And the ace of spades is kind of the most popular card in the deck, so nothing too outrageous there, really. And you could probably dismiss that theory, but the Illuminati card game. I lost my spot here, sorry. Oh, and then Jason Aldean also, the jack and the ace of spades he has on his arm is right below a black sun. Yes, the black sun of alchemy. The symbolism of the opening stage, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But the Steve Jackson Illuminati card game, which is referenced about as much as The Simpsons, has a card about Las Vegas with, guess what, a jack and an ace of spades on it. And recall, there's also a Illuminati card game card of Hawaii. And both of the Hawaii and Las Vegas cards seem to imply these are locations to be used in the game. I don't really know. I never played the game. But, and the Hawaiian one has these natives throwing a white guy down a volcano with black smoke. Some truthers were saying that the smoke is smoke from the wildfire. No, it's from a volcano. But it reminds me of a movie called Joe versus the Volcano. And guess who stars in that? You guessed it, Tom Hanks. That's right, everyone's favorite. But the Las Vegas Illuminati card probably used the jack and the ace, I'm thinking because of blackjack, right? Because jack's worth 10, aces are worth 11, that's 21. But why not the king and the ace if you're just picking cards? I don't know. It makes it kind of odd. But the theory here, the best one I would propose, is that we're looking at synchromysticism. And it kind of gets weirder when you consider Aldean's alchemical black sun tattoo. The because alchemy, and the black sun is the first stage of alchemy. And you see lots of celebs push different symbolism of the blackening or the negredo or the black bird. And that demonstrates the first stage of their initiation, of their alchemical process, of them getting involved in the psychodrama rituals. Because the black sun is the dissolution and the purification of matter. And I mean, boy, is there a lot of human sacrifice surrounding this guy. Between the Las Vegas concert, where he was performing when the shooting happened, the last song of the last day of the concert, which is really weird, and this small town song that seems to be stoking racial tensions, and now the Maui police chief, who I actually saw in a video saying he's the coroner of Maui, too. What the hell? Isn't that weird? How is that even possible? But he said it on the video, adding more strangeness to this case. And I'm going to throw in some more here soon. But it holds some relevance because the Steve Jackson game is based on, drum roll please, Robert Anton Wilson's Illuminatus trilogy. And Robert Anton Wilson was very much into Aleister Crowley and ritual magic, which is causing changes in the world, okay? Robert Anton Wilson was also a Discordian, and he was part of the popularization of the term Illuminati as we know it in the pop culture realm today. And this group is very much into causing chaos in our world to change belief systems. Now, if you follow my Twin Peaks Grey Lodge episodes, you heard about how one character in the show was actually printing the original Discordian Bible in the 60s, one of the main characters of Twin Peaks. I talked about it on my season one, I believe episode one? No, the cast and crew episode, which I think you can hear for free. Interesting stuff. So yeah, Jason Aldean has heavy links to synchro mysticism there, whether he knows it or not. Because that is one of the ideas, is that maybe the magicians know what's going on, but some of these folks involved are inadvertently involved. They actually don't know they're involved, okay? Now, on that Tinfoil Hat podcast, Sam Tripoli brought up Black Wall Street. And he makes a good point. It's been done before on American soil. Why not again? And what he's referring to is in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where there was an area called the Greenwood District, and it was known as Black Wall Street. Wikipedia says it's one of the most commercially successful and affluent majority African-American communities in the United States. And what happened was the local government and people, they didn't like the African-American businesses. They didn't like Black Wall Street. They're talking the 1920s here. So they did a false flag where the police claimed that a black man assaulted a white woman to stoke racial tensions, which led to the killing of hundreds of African Americans to shut down Black Wall Street. And, you know, it's because the Tiki Torch whites, they didn't like their success, which is really messed up, because Wikipedia says that this was during Jim Crow era. And African Americans were not allowed to invest or shop in white areas, so they were like, fine, we'll make our own. And then the Tiki Torch whites got jealous. You know, what do you want these people to do, man? But it's really interesting because you actually see attempts to re-spark this idea of a Black Wall Street from rappers even. The Game. He founded a record label called Black Wall Street. And I remember watching an interview with him many, many years ago when he was popping. And I mean, when did the documentary come out? Like 2006 or 7? Definitely before I was blogging. And he talked about this whole idea of Tulsa's Black Wall Street as motivation. So the question would be, would they do that in Maui? Do the elite Tiki Torch whites not like the native Hawaiians, saying, we don't want you over here, we don't want you buying these homes, we're not selling these homes, because we know, and for whatever reason, right? I don't know, I guess their rationale is they got already screwed over pretty good. And I'm sure the elites said, hey, we want to buy your house, tear it down, and build a, you know, massive hotel here. And we'll pay you a large amount of money. And they said, no, this is our land. I've got roots here. I've got bloodline here. I got my family here. Piss off. So the elite Tiki Torch White said, fine. How's about a laser beam? That's the theory. Let's talk about melting points. There, you know, this gets into science, which again, I'm not very qualified to discuss. But it's along the lines of the 9/11 theory about how jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams. Seems like lots of smart scientists agree with that. I don't know. This is exactly what Carl Sagan warned us about. When you start advancing scientifically, you get to the point where you've got stove-piped experts. And I don't know if these people are lying or not. How would I know without taking 4 years of college in mechanical engineering or whatever, right? I mean, they probably present a case and it's like, well, I guess it's the truth. But I saw lots of videos about how the fire liquefied these cars, yet the asphalt's totally fine. Makes no sense, right? Because asphalt should actually melt before aluminum. Now, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to read from fullfact.org on an article about this exact situation. It talks about a video on TikTok where shows molten metal identified as aluminum spilling out of a burnt car in Maui. And then the speaker says that aluminum in the wheels need a minimum of 660 degrees Celsius for it to melt. There's not a fire that can create that kind of heat. It says that's not true. The average temperature of a forest fire specifically is around 800 degrees Celsius. Extremes go up to 1200 degrees Celsius, far higher than the melting point of pure aluminum at 660 degrees. Furthermore, the metal part of the wheel is made of aluminum alloy, meaning the aluminum is mixed with other metals, though they could be also of steel or pure aluminum. This can reduce the melting point, though the melting point of steel is actually much higher than aluminum. And the experts on the Reddit comments say that, yes, fires can definitely get hot enough to burn aluminum, especially alloys, which is most wheels are. And I couldn't find anything to confirm why the asphalt didn't melt, but it does say the melting point is actually much lower. 340 degrees Fahrenheit, which I know I just threw in a Celsius and a Fahrenheit, but trust me, the asphalt has a lower melting temperature than aluminum. And one of the experts on the comments said, the reason roads don't normally burn is that asphalt has very little volatile compound content. And therefore, its flash point is extremely high, and any significant amount of volatiles evaporates very shortly after the asphalt cement comes off the truck, raising the flash point even more. I don't know exactly what that means, but I do know that asphalt, when it gets hot, I remember I was stationed in South Korea, and it was, I swear to God, it was 100 degrees with 100% humidity. It was so hot. And I had to move ISO containers, one of many jobs I did there. And I believe it was a 100-ton, they called it a, it was like a, it wasn't a forklift, it was like a transporter. It was like this big-ass thing with, I mean, the wheels were, I don't know, 10-foot diameter. They were huge. And it was meant to pick up those big ISO containers like you see at the ports and move them. So, I mean, we're talking heavy-duty stuff here. You had to have three spotters. Anyway, it was so hot, and I had to move this thing. And I remember seeing the asphalt buckle under the wheels of this thing as it moved. Now, does that mean that it's flammable? I don't know, but it sure did seem kind of weak. So, again, I mean, jury's out on the whole reason why the asphalt didn't burn. This commenter seems to say that it has something to do with the process of making it. The flash point goes even higher. Hey, I don't know. It's weird, though. Joe Biden. Oh, come on, Joe Biden. Tweeted the most insane tweet on August 14th. He said, we're laser focused on getting aid to survivors, including a one-time $700 payment. Now, I don't need to point out the obvious here. And at this point, it was already going around, this theory about how it was a directed energy laser weapon. So for Joe Biden to say we're laser focused, I don't know if it's, is this Dark Brandon trolling? Did someone else write this? I don't know. It's really weird that he would write, we are laser focused. Is he mocking conspiracy theorists? I don't know. And what's crazy is, you know, we just gave an insane billions to Ukraine, more on top of what we gave them already. We're hemorrhaging money over there. And look, I'm too stupid to know if it's worth it or not. I don't know. But because I don't know geopolitics. But it sure does seem funny that we can't help our own country out a little bit more. We're only giving $700. But to be fair, I read that a president can issue $700 payments without congressional approval. That's the highest they can give out without Congress approving it. So maybe he was trying to help out. He's like, look, I'm just going to cut you $700 right now, and then we're going to push something through from Congress. But, you know, everything, nothing's easy. Everyone fights about everything. I'm still waiting for Dark Brandon to pay off my school loans and legalize weed. All right. Where's that energy? At least the weed. The weed shouldn't cost anything. I get it. You don't want, I get it. People don't want to pay off my school loans, and I'm actually okay with that. But if they're trying to, look, they gave handouts to rich people. I'm in line for my handout. And if you don't want to do that, give me the weed at least, please. Good Lord. That don't cost nothing. Finally, let's pick on the police for a solid 20 minutes. I love my dad was in law enforcement his whole life. Okay. I actually, you know, they have a hard job. That's a tough job. I watched the body cam footage of a guy in a gas station. There was some nut in there with a gun. And you can hear the cop, like, dude, trying to talk to the guy off the ledge, like, bro, don't do this. I'm going to shoot you, dude. Put the damn gun down. And gave him as many chances as he could possibly give a human being. So, like, they're not all trigger-happy nut jobs. But I like to pick on them because, as a whole, not my favorite. But let's get there. Let's find a long, windy road to get there. The Maui Emergency Management Agency administrator quit. Who cares, right? Well, Fox News talked about it, and they said that he quit. He announced his resignation Thursday, a day after getting questioned about why the sirens did not sound during the devastating Lahaina wildfires. Oh, see, they're calling them wildfires, too. That's the narrative. That's the word. They want you to use the word wildfire. Hawaii News Now reported that Herman Ndaya claimed he was resigning for health reasons. When the death toll rose to 111 on Wednesday, Ndaya defended not sounding the sirens during the blaze, saying authorities were afraid that people would have gone mauka, a Hawaiian navigational term that could mean towards the mountains or inland. Honolulu Civil Beat reported Wednesday that Ndaya was not an expert in emergency management when he was brought on in 2017 to lead the Maui Emergency Management Agency. The article claimed his educational background is in political science and the law, not disaster preparedness or response. He also never worked a full-time job in emergency management. So, was it the government that failed Maui, or was it a politician? It was the politicians, the crony politicians doing dirty crony politician things. I remember back when George Bush was president and Michael Moore was constantly picking on him. I watched Fahrenheit 9/11 in the theater. That was a medium red pill moment for me. And I remember he was picking on him because was the guy's name Brownie. He appointed this guy Brownie to be the FEMA director before 9/11, and he totally botched the FEMA response because his experience was in equestrian horses or something. Why do these guys continue to do this? These emergency jobs. Are they trying to make a mockery of government? Is that what they're doing? Wouldn't you want to hire someone who knows how to handle emergency situations? It's mind-blowing. You would think they would know, hey, I better put someone in charge of this thing, the emergency thing, because if something happens, I can't have this look bad on me that I'm just hooking up my buddies with jobs. But nonetheless, they still do it. They still do it. What about the governor of Nevada? Well, Joe Lombardo, he is the current governor of Nevada, but he was also the Las Vegas sheriff when the shooting happened in 2017, and he oversaw the investigation. So, definitely some red flags there, right? He also attended the FBI National Academy, just like Pelletier. Seems pretty common. Why is this constantly happening? Are there a lot of people that go to the FBI National Academy? Well, I looked it up. Wikipedia says 4 classes a year with 250 cops per class. So we're talking 1,000 cops a year. And how many cops are there in America? About 700,000, give or take. To me, that's pretty limited. That's a pretty elite bunch. It's invitation only from what I read. So Joe Lombardo went to the FBI National Academy, and Pelletier did as well. Fun fact, Wikipedia says Joe Lombardo also was on an episode of Cops, one of my favorite shows growing up. And this is interesting. He's Republican, right? I always pick on the Republicans, right? But I got to mention, he seems very moderate, fairly moderate, which I love. You know, shout out to all the moderates out there. I don't like the extremes on the left or the right. I know, a bold statement from me. I know. But he's a pretty moderate guy. In fact, shockingly, he supports gun control and a high-capacity magazine ban. And you're probably thinking, well, that's because he saw all that crazy stuff happen in Vegas. No, it was before that even. So pretty moderate Republican. I mean, that's about as moderate as you can get on gun control. Or leftist, some would say. But the last episode, I talked about how Pelletier, who worked as the incident commander in Las Vegas during the shootings, is now the police chief of Maui, right? I talked about how he took a buddy with him over there, I think. I wanted to finish that thought. His buddy's name was Charles Hank, another police officer. His LinkedIn page shows he also went to the FBI National Academy. What do you know? Says he was in Las Vegas from 89 to 2020. That's 30 years he was there. Then Pelletier brought him over to Maui as his deputy chief from December 21 to November 22. He got brought over to Maui with Pelletier because, and I quote, Council Moana Ludi said Hank was the only applicant for the deputy position with all the qualifications for the job, which were determined by Pelletier. What do you know? What are the odds? So basically, Pelletier arranges so that this guy, Hank, come over with him. Why are we picking on Hank? Well, I'm going to read you from an article from November 2021. Hank was accused of domestic violence. It says, according to 2010 Las Vegas Review Journal articles, a possible domestic violence incident at the home of then Metro Captain Hank was under investigation. Hank was not arrested after police were called to his home, and a crime report was submitted to the district attorney's office for possible prosecution. However, no charges were filed, the Review Journal reported. It says, both men hail from Nevada and work together at the Las Vegas Metro. Pelletier said Thursday he was aware of the past investigation of Hank, and also the allegations were unfounded. He said Hank was never arrested in the case, and because the case involved a police officer, it would trigger an extremely thorough investigation. Okay, so, I mean, and this is where personal bias comes into play. If I know cops, they look out for other cops. They have the phrase, the blue line, and it's a thing, right? And I get it. I get it. That my dad had a badge. I remember getting pulled over, and all he had to do was flash that little badge, and we'd be right along our merry way. It's fine. Whatever, right? Tough job. I get it. And in fact, I got off the hook when I was in the military. I got pulled over for speeding, and they saw I was in the military, and they let me go, which was nice. Yeah, pretty nice, huh? But is that fair? No, it's not. You're supposed to set the standard. Now, this Hank guy, he quit 10 months after moving to Maui. He quit. And I even read that Pelletier wanted to get him $15,000 reimbursed for the move over to Hawaii, over to Maui. You know, because he's the only one qualified to do the job. Nobody in the Maui Police Department could have possibly done that job. So, in conclusion, let's wrap this up. Cops are not to be trusted because they don't trust us. But can you blame them? Look at us. We're a mess. Most of us are dangerous degenerates. So I get it. I'm just saying I am cautious with cops in the same way that they're cautious with me. possible threat. I'm a possible threat to them. And as you know, they're allowed to lie to us. So how much can we really trust all the things that these apparently FBI connected on some level police from Las Vegas who all happen to be promoted and move to Maui and become governors? I'd argue not much. Another topic we didn't harp on, pun intended, was that of human sacrifice, child sacrifice specifically. And I want to take one last look at, this is where we're going to round out the show. On part one, I mentioned the sex and death ritual. I'm going to recap just briefly. We talked about numerology, the number 8, symbolic of the union of the material and the spiritual. And in astrology, the 8th house is associated with sex, death, and regeneration. Remember, because we were talking about the Leo's portal on August 8th, all right? And I talked about the sex and death being kind of the most, prevalent sort of occult rituals you see in films like Eyes Wide Shut and so on. In Twin Peaks Grey Lodge, Season 1, Episode 1, which you can only get on the supporter feeds, give me a year to write the book and then I'll put it out on a free feed. But for now, supporters only. One more perk. You go ad-free, you get bonus shows, and of course you get the Grey Lodge. We talked about James Shelby Downard, and he was a theorist, probably the first of all theorists, and he wrote an essay called The Call to Chaos. I'm going to read you a paragraph from it. The United States, which long has been called a melting pot, should be more descriptively called a witch's cauldron, wherein the hierarchy of the grand architect of the universe arranges for ritualistic crimes and psycho-political psychodramas to be performed in accordance with a master plan. The ritual crimes are principally oriented to sex and death, in the cultist homage to their zany notions of the universal spirit that created the world, and also as a rite of passage employed to catapult the human race into the much-trumpeted New Age. So, in conclusion, with the last part of the theory, why would they want to do human sacrifice? Why would they want them to be kids? You know, they sent the kids home early. Well, if you want to find a theory to base that on, it would be Downard's theory about the, you know, sex and death rituals, paying homage to these bloodthirsty pagan gods. So there you go. Whew, whole lot going on there. Will there be a part 3? I don't know. Stay subscribed just in case. And follow me on the social media at Isaac Weishaupt. Take a look at that video I have on there about the blue umbrellas. And if you also, if you're new to all this or you're a little confused on what the heck we're talking about, go check out my books, Amazon, Audible. I narrated them on Audible. Go get The Dark Path. It explains everything. I wrote it like 2016 and 17 and still applicable. So check all those things out. Links are always in the show notes. Till next time, stay woke.